has given me something this week that I believe is going to touch our hearts. It's going to speak to us in a practical, very pragmatic way. But I also believe that God wants to do something inside of us. Amen. In such a real, with a magnitude that we just can't hardly understand. Before we get into our sermon, though, I want us just to wait for a moment on the Lord. Amen. I want us to take this opportunity to worship Him just for a few moments. I just can't get away from that. I really sense His power and His presence today. And it's in that time that we worship. It's in that time that we're still before Him. It's in that time that we wait upon the Lord that He begins to do His work. Some of the greatest things that's ever happened in people's life has happened during worship services. And Father, we just want to worship Him. We just want to worship You, Lord. Let's just take a few moments and just thank Him. Let's invite Him in Your own way, however You want to do it. But let's take that moment and let's praise Him. Let's worship Him. Let's make a connection to our Heavenly Father today. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, I praise You. I worship You, oh God. Lord, I long, Father, for Your touch. Oh, I thank You. I welcome You here, oh God. You know my heart, oh God. You know my needs, oh Lord Jesus. And Father, I just want to say thank You. I want to say I love You. I want to tell You how much I praise You. Oh, sweep through this place, oh God. Stir our hearts. Stir our hearts, oh God. Oh, mighty God, mighty God, mighty God. Oh, I worship You. I adore Your name, oh God. Oh, Father, I bring to You all of my heart. I bring to You my cares. I bring to You, oh God, Lord Jesus. All of those things, oh Lord, I lay them at Your feet tonight. Oh, God, I pray that You would just move in Your presence in this place. Touch hearts, touch lives today, God. Oh, I just thank You, Lord. I just thank You, Lord. I just thank You today. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Father. Hallelujah. You know, it's when you and I engage with our Heavenly Father, that's when something happens. You know, it's communicating. You say, well, I'm not sure. I don't know how to worship. I don't know how to do that. It's as simple as talking to your spouse. It's as simple. Wait a minute. Let me back that up. That might not be as easy as for some people. But what I'm saying is just like carrying on a conversation with your Heavenly Father. Into telling Him and worshiping and thanking Him for all that He is. How much you love Him. I'm telling you. It's engaging with God. Hallelujah. Can you imagine that the Creator of the heaven and the earth desires to have a relationship with you and I this morning? I can't even begin to fathom that. That the One who spoke, let there be light, wants to speak into my heart, wants to speak into my life, wants to have relationship with me, and wants to commune with me. That is, and you know what, that when that happens, when that occurs, you know what that's called? That's called worship. Hallelujah. That's called worship. Well, I'm not preaching about worship today. I should, because man, I'm telling you, my heart has been stirred this morning. But I want to continue our series on love. And I want to recap just a few things. Last week we had a wonderful service with being Memorial Day. Brother Hunt did a tremendous job, didn't he? Let's give him a great hand today. Hallelujah. Man, you want to get me stirred, you start doing some of those patriotic things. Man, I tell you, it just makes me have to choke back the tears. But it was a wonderful service last week, and I had a great attendance, and I believe we're going to have another great service this morning. Amen. We've already have, amen, with His presence. For the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about love out of the book of First Corinthians chapter 13. And we've learned a few things, I hope, and I'm going to just recap some of those things. And one of those is that we learned without love, all my words are useless. And absolutely are no good. We also learned without love, all that I know simply is meaningless. What I know means absolutely nothing if it's not operating in love. Without love, what I do is literally inadequate. It's not enough. It's not good enough. Without love, all that I give means absolutely nothing. In fact, the Bible says, if I gave myself to be burned, as offer myself up as an offering, and I had not love, it profiteth me nothing. And we go on to say, and without love, all that I accomplish is simply insignificant if I don't have love in my heart. We also learned that love is an action. How many realize that? It's not something that we feel. Love is something that we do. It's something that we engage in. We love, hallelujah. It's not a feeling, but it's something that we is an action that we engage in. And we also learned that love is a choice. How many realize that? I can choose to love, or I can choose to withhold my love. Oh, I pray this morning that we never choose to withhold love from somebody. You say, well, you don't know what someone's done to me. It doesn't matter. You forget what you have done to him. Amen? And he loves us in spite of it. Amen? Hallelujah. So love has a choice. We make the choice. I choose to love people, even those that use me, even those that abuse me, even those that turn their back on me. I choose to love them in spite of what they do and who they are. And then we also learned that love never fails. Aren't you glad? Love never fails. Hallelujah. Love never fails. We learned that love is patient. This morning I want us to turn our attention back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And I have just three words out of that verse right there that I want to read to you today. And it is simply this. It is love is kind. Love is kind. Would you bow your head with me and let us pray? Father, I pray for the next few minutes. Oh, Father, I pray for your anointing to come upon me. And I pray, Lord, that it would not be me speaking, but it would be you speaking through me to these who have gathered together today. I pray, Father, today, Lord, that you would give us hearing ears. Give us good soil, O God, and let this fall upon our heart and our lives. And let us, Father, Lord, let us receive from you. In your holy name we pray. Amen. And amen. Sometimes we hear that word kind and we get a little confused. We confuse the word kind and nice. How many realize that? I think there's a candy bar that they're advertising called Kind. Has anybody seen that commercial? And they've said the very same thing. I thought, I've heard that before. And then I saw the commercial. I go, that's where I heard that. That kind and nice. There's a difference between the two. And there really is. You see, nice means to be pleasant or to be agreeable. Okay? I had a nice time. It was a good time to get together. Or John was very nice to me. That means it's something that is pleasant. But that word kind has a completely different meaning. And we get them confused sometimes, but the word kind actually means, from the Greek, it means this. Listen to this. It's great. To seek to be useful. To seek to be useful. You know what? That's what it is. Love. Love seeks to be useful. Oh, listen to me today, church. We could read 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that says, love is kind. We could read it. Love ceases or seeks to be useful, seeks to help out. Biblical kind of love goes out and it looks for something to or somehow to be useful in the world in which we live in. How many realize what I'm talking about? You know, we can say, oh, well, I'm kind. I'm just going to be kind. No, kind is when you go looking for something and you look for someone to be useful in their lives. When Paul wrote that, he said, love is patient and love is kind. In other words, love is willing to wait on you until you get it right. Amen. And he says, but not only is he willing to wait on you to get it right, but he's willing to go and help you make it right. How many know what I'm talking about today? Amen. Love is kind. It looks for an opportunity to be useful. Biblical kindness always is ready to be used. Hallelujah. Most of us will respond in kindness when we're confronted with a need. How many realize that? You know, you go to Walmart and you walk out in the parking lot and it happens all the time. You have some guy, he walks up to you and he says, hey man, could you spare a few dollars? How many know what I'm talking about? Has it ever happened to you? It happens to me all the time. I must have that face that looks like there's a sucker right there. Ask money from him. But you know what we do? We reach in our pocket and we say, hey, here's a couple bucks, buddy. And we think that we've been kind. That's not kind. How many realize that? We're not kind by doing that. True biblical kindness is this, is when I take a few dollars and I seek out somebody to give it to. Amen? In other words, I don't wait for the need to come to me, but I go to the need. And I'm finding someone that I can minister to. I can be kind to. Hey, buddy, I want to help you out. Come here. I want to help you out, buddy. I care about you. That's being kind. You see the difference? Nice is saying, oh, how you doing? Pleased to meet you. But kind is getting involved in somebody's life to help them out. Being useful. Being useful. True biblical kindness is when you look for somebody to give a few dollars to. Let me give you another example of kindness. True biblical kindness is when you go to the grocery store and you buy some peanut butter and some jelly. Amen? Everybody like peanut butter and jelly? I love peanut butter and jelly. I was so finicky when I was a kid growing up that if my mama hadn't had peanut butter and jelly, I'd have starved to death. I didn't like anything. But I grew up on peanut. She kept one of them big gallon peanut butter jars in there. Amen? But true biblical kindness is when you go to the grocery store and you get peanut butter and jelly, or you get ham and cheese, and you get a loaf of bread, and you go home, and you know what you do? You make up about a dozen sandwiches. And you wrap them up in those little wrappers, you know. And then what you do is you drive down here to Highway 90 where the overpass is. And you get out your car and you go up to all these homeless people. And you say, hey, listen, let me help you out here. Let me help you. I want to be kind to you. And you give. That's kindness. I mean, realize there's a big difference. It's not being confronted with a need where somebody comes up and says, hey, buddy, can you help me? No, it's when we seek out somebody that we can minister to. How can I help you? How can I touch your life? The Bible is telling you and I that love is patient, but love is kind. Love goes the distance, goes and seeks out individuals to say, oh, how can I help you? How can I be of service to you? You know, so many times in the church, we want it to be service to us. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. But God says true biblical love, the love that I have for you, exactly, Jesus Christ, what did He do? He wasn't confronted with our need. What did He do? He came to seek to save that which was lost. And He died on the cross. Hallelujah. That's true biblical love. Hallelujah. Love is kind. Hallelujah. Love is on the lookout for ways to help. Love makes a real effort to find somebody, to seek somebody else. Hallelujah. And make an effort, hallelujah, to be useful. And can I tell you something? When you and I do that, you know what happens? This is something incredible. When you and I are kind, we please God. We please God. When you and I are kind to one another, when you and I are kind to hurting, broken people, it pleases God. Colossians 3, verse 12 through 14 says, therefore, as God's chosen people, are you God's chosen people? Amen. I didn't hear that too much. Are y'all God's chosen people? Are y'all alive? Are y'all breathing this morning? Amen. Hallelujah. As God's chosen people, holy and dearly beloved, listen to this. Clothe yourself with compassion. Clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with each other and forgiving one another. If any of you have a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And listen to this. And all these virtues put in love. He said, add love to all that, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Hallelujah. You know what he's saying? He's saying for the true believer that kindness should be as natural as putting on your pair of pants in the morning. Amen? What does he say? He says be clothed. You should be clothed. Hallelujah. It should become that natural. You wouldn't leave the house without your pants, I don't think, would you? I hope not. That could be a frightening thing. Amen? No, what do? We get up, we put our pants on. But and just not put our pants on, we put our shirt on, we put our shoes on. But let me tell you something, we cannot neglect to put on, hallelujah, the love of God in our lives, to put on kindness, amen, and to walk out in that world and say, I am clothed, hallelujah, with gentleness. I'm clothed with compassion. I'm clothed with humility and gentleness, hallelujah. I'm clothed with patience, hallelujah. I wear it like I wear a jacket. It's who I am. When you and I are kind, hallelujah, we clothe ourselves. We clothe ourselves. Be clothed with usefulness. Another way you could say that. Clothe yourself with effort to find someone to be useful to. Can I tell you something? When you and I, when we're kind, Let me tell you what happens. We imitate God. We imitate God. Luke 6 verse 35 says, "But love ye your enemies, and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great." And listen to this. "And ye shall be the children of the Highest, for He is," what? "Kind unto the unthankful and to the," what? "Evil." You know, when I read that passage of Scripture, it just kind of jumped off the page to me. It jumped off the page to me. What is Jesus saying here? He's saying, love your enemies. He's saying, what? Be good. Be good to people. He says, lend to people and not hoping and getting anything else returned. He says, and your reward shall be great. And not only will your reward be great, but then He says, ye shall be the children of the Highest. For the Highest, our God, amen, He is kind. And when you and I are kind, you know what we do? We reflect His kindness in us, amen. And what do? We walk, and it says, and we do it to those who are, what? Unthankful and unevil. Jesus was telling His disciples, He said, love your enemies, do good, lend, not expecting anything in return. And Jesus said, you'll have a great reward, and you'll be the children of God. What do children do? You know what children do? They imitate their father. They imitate their father. Oh, and what does it say? Their father is kind. When you and I are kind, you know what we're doing? We're imitating our daddy. Amen. We're imitating our heavenly Father, because He is kind. And He's kind not just to those who are kind to me. And He's not kind to just those who are do good. He says He is kind. Amen. Even to those that are not kind. He says He is kind even to those that are evil. How many realize that's not always easy to do? But when we imitate our Heavenly Father, can I tell you something? He was kind. The Bible tells us, when we were yet sinners. Listen to me today. When we stood and we shook our fist in the face of God, you know what He did? The Bible says He forgave us. He forgave us. Oh, listen, while I was yet sinner, Christ died on the cross for me. Even before I ever called upon His name, when I was evil, when I was ugly, when I was nasty, when there was nothing good inside of me, Jesus Christ died on the cross. Why? Because He is good. He's kind. We wouldn't be just kind, not just to those who are kind to us. Jesus said even sinners do that. Even sinners are kind to other sinners. But the Father is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. What Jesus is trying to get across to His disciples here is this, and to you and I this morning is this. He wants to touch our lives in such a way that we will not only be kind and love to those who are good and kind to us, but He wants to change us in such a way that we will imitate our Heavenly Father who is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. How many of you know what I'm talking about? There's got to be a change in our lives, because that does not come naturally to you and I. But if you and I are going to, if we're going to imitate our Heavenly Father, then what we are going to do is we got to be kind to those that are not kind to us. I remember the Scripture where Jesus said, if somebody smacks you on the right, turn to them the other cheek. Amen? I never did like that verse, but you know what? God says, if you are kind, you'll be My children. Hallelujah. The kind of love that Paul is talking about here in 1 Corinthians. The kind of love that transforms us from who we are into the sons of God, imitators of our Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. And not only when we're kind are we transformed and we imitate our Heavenly Father, but when we are kind, we honor God. We honor God. Proverbs 14 verse 31 says, "He who oppresses the poor shows contempt for his Maker. But he who is kind to the needy honors God." Honors God. We honor God when we seek something out to be useful. We dishonor God when we do nothing. Let me say that again. I said we dishonor God when we do nothing. The reason that we dishonor God, I don't want to dishonor God. We dishonor Him when we leave it up to somebody else. How many realize that? Can you imagine if Jesus said, hey, let somebody else take care of that? But Jesus didn't say, let somebody else take care of it. He didn't look down and say, hey, they don't appreciate what I'm doing. So, hey, let somebody else take care of them. No, what did he do? In spite of who we were, he showed kindness. He became useful in our lives. Amen. Hallelujah. Can I tell you something else? That when we are kind, we lend to God. We lend to God. Hallelujah. Proverbs 19 verse 17 says, whosoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord. And listen to this. And he will reward them for what they have done. Hallelujah. What they have done. Kindness, hallelujah, to the needy is kindness to God. How many realize that? It's kindness to God. When you and I operate in real love, when you and I operate in real kindness, we are literally doing God's work and we're doing God a favor. We're lending to God. Now let me just stop and say, does God need anything we have? Absolutely not. He's self-sufficient. He's omnipotent. But when God sees His children, amen, doing what they ought to do, amen, and reaching out to the broken, reaching out to the hurting, you know what happens? He says, hey, listen, that's my job. I can't owe you anything, because God's not a debtor to no man, is He? So what does He do? He says, I'm going to reward you for what you've done. I'm going to reward you. Hallelujah. We're literally doing God a favor. You know, we don't have very many opportunities to do God a favor, do we? You know, wouldn't it be nice to do God a favor? Oh, I mean, wouldn't you like to, out of love, be able to minister to the poor? What you're doing is when you minister to the poor, you're doing God's business. We already know that God is kind to the poor. So when we operate in true love and we operate in true kindness, we are doing His work. And when He sees it as a loan that we're making to Him. And God is no debtor to any man. Hallelujah. Hebrews verse 10, chapter 10, verse 6 says, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work. Listen to me. And the love that you have shown to Him as you have helped His people. Continue to help them. Amen. Jesus put it this way in Matthew chapter 25, verse 35. This is what He said. He says, for I was hungry and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in, naked and ye clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer and say unto him, Lord, when saw ye thee hungry and fed thee, or thirsty and gave ye drink? When do we see a stranger and take him in, naked and clothe thee? Or when do we see thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And listen to this, verse 40. And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye had done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. Hallelujah. Oh, how many times can I say, God, I want to just do something for you. Have you ever said that? God, I just want to do something for you. Oh, wouldn't it be wonderful if we could just do something for Him? How many times have we thought that? If Jesus could walk in a physical manner, walk through that door today and come down here, you know what? I've always said I would love to wash the feet of Jesus. Wouldn't that be just something awesome? To wash the feet, those nail print in His feet, to wash those loving feet of Jesus, to kneel at His feet and wash His feet. Wouldn't that be wonderful to do? Wouldn't that be just fantastic if we could do something like that? But Jesus tells us, you can wash my feet. He says, you can. Jesus says, whatever you do, whenever you do this to the least of my brethren, He says, you have done it unto me. Whenever we show kindness to someone, whenever we seek to be useful to the broken and the hurting and the lost, whatever we do in Jesus' name, hallelujah, and whatever we do it unto Him. In fact, Jesus said in another passage of Scripture, it's not in my notes, but this is what He said. He said, if you give a cup of cold water in my name, it will not be forgotten, and you'll receive a reward. That reward will not be taken from you, because it's as though you were giving it to Him. If God has been good to you, and how many know He has? He has. The way to thank Him is through love. The way to thank Him is being kind to those who are around you. And the same, it's the same as being kind to Jesus. We are also to be kind to other believers. How many realize that? You know, some churches are so full of malice and so full of bitterness and so full of hatred that one side sets on, doesn't speak to the other side. How many understand what I'm saying? There have been such squabbles and such fights. Lord, forget about a business meeting because they have to call the police. How many know what I mean? You know what I'm talking about. But God's Word says that we are supposed to be kind, especially to one another who is in the body of Christ. Galatians 6 verse 10, therefore, as we have opportunity. How many realize we have more opportunities than we shake a stick at? We have a multitude of opportunities. But He says, let us do good unto all people. That just doesn't mean to one another, but to all people. The lost, the sinner, the saint. Especially to those that belong to the family of God. Hallelujah. We are obligated to be kind one to another. And so many times we become the answer to somebody's prayer when we're kind to a fellow believer. You know that? Sometimes you become the answer when you're just kind, being kind. I want to share with you something. I wasn't going to share it, but it was such a powerful experience that I had the other day. I've been praying for an individual. At one time in his life, he was a great Christian, loved God, worshiped the Lord, had a great relationship with God, but he went through some stuff. How many know you can go through some stuff? Amen. In going through that stuff, he kind of began to fall away from God and began to do things that he ought not to do and get involved in things he ought not to be involved in. Kind of turned to the bottle a little bit, you know what I'm talking about? And I watched him and I was concerned for him. And I sent him a text about 6 months ago. And I just said, hey, I love you. I'm thinking about you. I've watched you and you're not where you ought to be. Forgive me if I'm wrong, but I love you. And you know what he texted me back? You're right. I didn't know if it was none of my business, he said, you're right, or if it was, yeah, you're right about what I'm saying. So I didn't know how to follow up on that. But this Friday, I had a chance to see him. And you know what I said? I said, maybe God will open a door for me. And I approached him and I said, hey, how's it going? So good to see you. Love you, man. And we got to talking a little bit, just stuff, you know what I'm saying? And God opened the door. And I began to share with him. I began to speak to him into his heart and his soul about the things in his life. And the power of God fell out there in the middle of the yard. I mean, I'm talking the power of God. And he fell on his face in the lawn and began to weep and began to cry. There was a neighbor across the street that was outside. He saw us and he went inside. But God was doing a miracle in his life. God was delivering him from some things that had a hold upon him. And he's crying and he's screaming and he's howling like a dog and he's like, oh God, and he's screaming and everybody's looking, but he didn't care. Why? Because the power of God. But you see, you know what brought that? It was kindness. It was kindness. I went looking for an opportunity to say, maybe God might be able to use me. Maybe I can just be kind to Him and God will open the door. And what did God do? God moved in and God has done a miraculous thing in his life. Hallelujah. God has set him free. Why? Because someone showed him kindness. We're to be kind one to another. We have an obligation. Someone once said, when you're praying for someone's need, make sure that we're not the one that's supposed to be taking care of that need. Amen. It's okay to pray. Don't get me wrong. We need to pray one for another. The Bible instructs us. But when you're praying, you might want to check. God, is it me that's supposed to be meeting this person's need? Next thing too is kindness shows our godly character. In the book of Ruth, wonderful, wonderful book, chapter 12, verse 15 and 16, this is what it says. It says, and she, talking about Ruth, was gleaning, and Boaz ordered his men, let her gather among the sheaves and do not reprimand her. Even pull out some stalks for her from the bundles and leave them for her to pick up and do not rebuke her. If you've never read the book of Ruth, it's a beautiful love story, but it's not just a love story. It's about a love story between our Heavenly Father and you and me. It's about us. Boaz sees Ruth in the fields, and he inquires about her, and he says, who is that woman that is gleaning in our fields? And come to find out, they said, oh, that's Naomi's daughter-in-law whose husband has died. And Boaz sees her, and he says, I want to be kind to her. So he says to his workers, pull some of the stalks out and let her gather them. And don't rebuke her. Leave her alone. In other words, what he's saying is, I want to help meet her needs. Can I tell you something? He became her kinsman redeemer. I don't have time to go into what a kinsman redeemer is, but their kin was able to redeem, hallelujah, a person. And he became her kinsman redeemer. Through his kindness, he reflected godly character toward Ruth. But the story of Boaz and Ruth is really a story about you and me. Ruth was a pagan Moabite, and she becomes the wife of Boaz, heirs to all of his property and all of his wealth. She becomes the great-grandmother of King David, and she is placed in direct lineage of Jesus Christ himself. All because Boaz showed kindness to someone. Can I tell you something? Kindness is a powerful thing. Kindness will break down walls. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that a kind word turneth away wrath. Kindness is powerful. I don't know if this is doing for you what it's doing to me, but I'm telling you, it's doing something for me. That story of Boaz and Ruth is just like you and I. How many realize that we're married to Christ? Hallelujah. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus. Hallelujah. And we are made to become sons and daughters of the Almighty, all because of His kindness toward you and to me. Hallelujah. God blesses you. Can I tell you that? He blesses you so you can bless other people. Amen? He blesses you so you can turn around and be kind to someone else. Kindness does not turn away from the opportunity to help or to do good. Kindness looks for the opportunity. And Jesus is that perfect example of kindness. He is the perfect model of kindness. He was kind to those who used Him just for His miracles. He served those who rejected Him. He served them. And He forgave those, even those who crucified Him. Paul writes this, love is kind. But can I tell you something? Nehemiah agrees with him, because in Nehemiah chapter 9, 17, he says, you are God, oh, ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abundant in kindness, he says. And not only does Nehemiah agree, but so does King David, because in Psalm 63, verse 3, he says, thy loving kindness is better than life. Thy loving kindness is better than life. David is saying, oh God, your kindness to me is better than life itself. Hallelujah. Can I tell you something this morning? It was God's kindness that drew you and I to Him. It wasn't His wrath. People don't get saved because of His wrath, or if they do, it doesn't last very long. How many know what I'm talking about? People say, oh, I want to scare the hell out of them, excuse me. But you know what? That doesn't last. How many realize that? It doesn't last. Wrath doesn't last. It's His loving kindness that draws, hallelujah, people unto Him. How many realize that? It's His loving kindness. And it's that loving kindness that transforms our life. It's that loving kindness that God wants to use in us to transform the world that we live in, to transform the people that we come in contact with. How can we reach the world that is broken and hurting and in darkness? We do it through kindness. Jesus went about doing good, the Bible says, and healing those that were oppressed of the devil. He did it through kindness. I was listening to a minister the other day, and he was preaching, and he told about a story that him and his son went out to get breakfast. And when he reached the restaurant, the waitress seated him, and the waitress was anything but pleasant. How many of you ever had that happen? You get one of those waitresses, and they just are not very nice. You know, it happens from time to time. She acted like she didn't want to wait on them. She messed up their order like 3 different times. Just couldn't get it right. And he was getting kind of ticked off with her. And so, she was rude. She was just horrible. Just a horrible waitress. And finally they finished their meal and it came time to take the ticket and leave the tip. And he looks at the tip and he looks at the waitress. And you know what he does? He puts a big fat 0 where the tip goes. Pays his bill and walks out the door and gets in his car and drives off. How many realize the Holy Spirit won't let you get away with that? He says he's about a mile down the road and the Holy Spirit says, what are you doing? The Holy Spirit said to him, do you know what gruterity means? I don't know if I said that right. Yeah, that one. You know what that means? The Holy Spirit said, it's in the same family of words. Are you ready for this? This is great. It's in the same family words that we get the word grace from. And the Holy Spirit said to him, Pastor, do you know what grace means? It means to give someone something they don't deserve. And the Holy Spirit said, you gave that waitress did not meet your standards and you gave her exactly what she deserved, nothing. And he said, Pastor, do I treat you that way? And the Holy Spirit said, turn around and go back. And the Holy Spirit said, I want you to take $60 and give it to her. And I want you to apologize for the way you treated her. He said, I thought, are you kidding me? He gets back to the restaurant, and you know what he does? He goes to the manager and he says, hey, could I have so-and-so? She was my waitress. I'd like to speak to her. And the waitress comes out and he looks at her and he says, I want to apologize for the way that I treated you. And here is $60. Would you please forgive me? And instantly, she began to cry rivers of tears. And she said, let me see what she said. She began to tell him about the divorce that she was going through and how her husband had left her. And for the next 25 minutes, this pastor was able to be kind to her and share the love of Jesus Christ. What made the difference? What made the difference in her being so hard and so angry and so mean? You know what it was? One thing. Kindness. Kindness. Let's take note of that next time you go to the restaurant. And you might not get the service you think that you deserve. Remember, God didn't give you and I what we deserved. And when you're at work and the coworker is not treating you the way that you think you ought to be treated, remember that word grace. And don't give them what they deserve, but give them what they don't deserve. Amen? Are you following me today? If we're going to be a church that's going to make an impact in this community, if we're going to be a church that's going to win our children, If we're going to be a church that's going to have an influence in the marketplace where we live, it starts with kindness. It starts with kindness. It starts with kindness. If you want to be used mightily by God, if you want to reach your coworkers, can I tell you something? They don't need to hear John 3:16 anymore. How many realize that? They've heard it enough. They can quote it probably better than you can. How about just trying to be kind? You want to have an effective witness in the marketplace? Try operating in the landscape of kindness. Amen? Kindness transforms people. I'm going to say something a little controversial here, okay? But that's nothing new, is it? Do you know why the gay community has such disdain for the church? Because Christians have been historically mean toward the gay community. How many realize that? Mostly what they have heard from the church is this: you're an abomination. And you're a stench in the nostrils of God. And you're going to hell, and we're kind of glad about it. And that's what they've mostly heard from the church. But you know what kindness says? You know what kindness says to that group of people? Kindness says this: you know, I don't see things the way that you see them. And I don't agree with your lifestyle. But could we go out for supper some night? Could we go to have a cup of coffee someday? How many realize that's not always easy? That's not always convenient. It gets us way out of our comfort zone. But isn't that what Jesus Christ did when He came to this earth? You know what Jesus did? Jesus hung out with those kind of people for so long that He was accused of being one of them. Guilty by association. We're so proud and we say, oh, I don't want to associate with people like that. I'm holy and I don't want to get unholy. Let me tell you something. If Jesus had said that about us, we'd be dead in trespasses and sin. And God uses you and me. That's why the gay community hates the church. They have a disdain toward the church. You know what my prayer is? My prayer is this: that somehow we can change that whole mind thought. And that they would say, well, I don't necessarily agree with them. But you know what? They're the nicest people I've ever met. They're the nicest people I've ever met. Are you hearing me this morning? Love is kind. Love is kind. Some of the meanest people I've ever met have been in church. What do you mean you're going to change the youth service to another night? Am I telling the truth? What do you mean you're going to change the time of the service to 6 o'clock rather than 6:30? It's the truth. And something's got to change. The world don't want what we have because what they see has not been genuine. I'm not here to bash anybody. I'm not here to get on anybody. I'm just stating the truth. But if we're going to be different, if we're going to be different, we've got to start with kindness. Being kind one to another and being kind to the world that is lost without Jesus Christ, reaching them by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's how we walk in love. Let me realize that. Would you stand with me this morning? Isn't that what Jesus did for us? Isn't that what Jesus did for us? I was lost, broken, crippled by sin, And yet, God, in an act of saving grace, you know what He said? He said, I want you to come and eat at my table. Because I love you. Because I care about you. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Listen to this. It is God's kindness that leads us to repentance. It's God's kindness. We were saved not by guilt. We were saved not by shame. We were saved not by condemnation. We were saved because the love of God, hallelujah, was reaching out to us. He was kind to us. It was the kindness of God. How many realize all of us have sinned? We've fallen short of the glory of God. God sees all. He knows everything that we've ever done and everything that we're ever going to do. And yet, He covers us with His blood of His dear Son. And He ministers to our needs. Would you bow your head with me this morning? Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. We give you glory. We give you honor today. If you're here today and something I've said this morning has touched your heart, something that has ministered to you, I want you just to respond to Jesus this morning. I believe that there are those here this morning that need to receive that kind of kindness from Him. Not the judgmental kind, not the kind of condemnation, but the kindness of God that is waiting on you and drawing you. But I also believe that there are those here this morning that would say, Pastor Rick, I want to operate in the kindness that God has showed me. I'm a nice person. I'm a good person. But I want God's kindness to flow through me. I want that kind of kindness to flow out to my neighbors, to my coworkers, to my family. I want the image of Jesus Christ to be seen in me. I want this church to know that kind of kindness this morning. If you're here this morning and you would say yes to any of that, I want you just to slip up your hand right where you're at and say, Pastor, would you pray for me? Because I want to pray here. Thank you. Are there others? Thank you. Yes. I want kindness. I want kindness to flow in my heart and my life. I want kindness. Heavenly Father, I come to you today. And my prayer is this, and this one thing is before we leave this place. Father, I pray, Lord, that Thy loving kindness would walk through this place today, O Lord, and that You would draw us into your presence. Let it flow through us, O God, Your kindness, that we might be the kind of people, O Lord, that love one another as well as loving the lost. O God, I pray that You would strengthen Your love in us. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ right now. Father, Lord, let us go forth, Lord, Father, with love, Father, that changes not only our lives, but changes the lives of those, O God. Father, I lift my hand to You today, Lord, and I ask You, Father, change my heart, O God. Make me more like You. Make me like Your Son, Jesus. Let me show kindness to this world. I ask You in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. And amen. Don't you look this way for just a moment. I've given you this morning a very practical message on how you and I can walk in love. And it starts with being kind. It starts with being kind to your spouse. Being kind to your children. Don't kick your dog when you get home. You know what I'm talking about. Be kind. Be kind to your neighbor. Seek out someone that you can show the love of God to. Because kindness seeks to be useful. Let the love of God baptize you. And let Him use you. That His kingdom, hallelujah, might be glorified. And that we might reach people for the kingdom of God. I want to say something, and I probably shouldn't. I'm going to say it anyway. Try being nice to your kids, your adult kids that are lost. Quit preaching to them. Start loving them. Start reaching out to them. And watch kindness.